I'm Mark Purcell, and this is Cincinnati Edition. Thanks for listening this morning. It was back in 2003 that the New York Times bestseller 1,000 Places to See Before You Die hit the bookshelves, and it became a runaway bestseller. Now the second edition is out, new and improved, if you may. And on the phone with me is Patricia Schultz, the author of 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. Good morning, Patricia.
Hi, good morning, Mark. How are you?
Not bad. I want to ask right off, let's go back to 2003 and before. I know you've been a travel writer for quite a long time in your career. What made you decide to put together 1,000 Places to See Before You Die?
Oh, you know, I guess it was because since ever I can remember, people were always coming to me. I'm thinking of going to Paris. Where should I stay? My daughter is planning a honeymoon to the South Pacific. What do you suggest? I've never been to South America. Where do I start? And I had all this information in my head, both from professional experience as well as my own personal meanderings. And I always had this desire to kind of put it all between two covers. I would do all the homework for everyone, and I would create the kind of best of the best. And I found a publisher who was very much on the same page, if I may. And we came up with this tome that has just, you know, taken off and continued to be the kind of go-to source for people either very well-traveled or who are just now beginning or would like to begin. And where do they begin? The world is huge and the possibilities are countless.
Well, I wanted to ask, why 1,000? Because it seems like that would be a rather daunting task versus 100 or 500.
Well, funny you should ask, because when I didn't have a number in mind, I just wanted it, I envisioned it to be this huge endeavor, because the more you travel, the more you realize, my God, the possibilities are just countless. And my publisher said, well, let's start with 100. And I thought, coming from my background of writing travel books and doing a phenomenal amount of work in very limited time, I thought 100, I can do that in a weekend. And instead, we added a zero, because instead of being the 100 usual regular suspects, the Grand Canyons, the Taj Mahals, the Iguazu Falls, it opens it up to become a whole other kind of thing with very unheard of, unknown, way off the beaten track, kind of unappreciated and unsung gems often. So it would be a great mix of, you know, the very grand and the very humble.
As you were setting this out, how long did it take to put together? Okay, 100 you could do in a weekend. How long did 1,000 take?
Well, my publisher said, so take a year and two is fine. And in fact, it took 8 for the original book.
Wow.
Well, really, I could have taken another 8. But at that point, he was tapping his toe saying, you know, it's not funny anymore. So the first book came out after 8 years in 2003. And then the revision, really, most people just, you know, update the prices and dot a few T's, cross a few T's and dot a few I's, and there's your revision. But I rewrote the entire book, and so that took 5 years as well, and it just came out last year, and I think that's it for a while.
I think so. So rewritten, retraveled, reimagined. I notice and read in the introduction and have seen that you, while it was originally 1,000 places to see before you die, you've added 28 more countries and 200 new entries. How is it still 1,000?
I know. What's up with that math? What I did, and it just seemed like such a no-brainer, is that I deconstructed the book and then remerged things so that instead of a particular national park or valley or waterfall or museum or historical castle-turned-hotel, if they were geographically in the same area and naturally became part of the same trip or trail or itinerary or experience, in fact, they were rewritten as one. And then it would open up so many more places elsewhere in the world for new places that I have discovered since the first book came out. So it's still 1,000, but it's far more dense, and each entry is far more of an experience or an itinerary, a kind of mini itinerary, than the first book. So I kept almost everything from the first book, but then added so much more, including color photographs and new hotel information, as much budget as over the top, once in a lifetime, you're only celebrating your 50th anniversary once kind of place. So across the board, it really is, I think, a brand new book. And that's what kept me excited for 5 years, because it was as if I was doing a whole new project.
I could imagine it was, and plenty of excitement in here. And I'd like to clarify for folks who have not read A Thousand Places to See Before You Die, that it's not just places. You also have things like events, Mardi Gras for one, and food, Belgian chocolate for another.
I can't imagine travel being just one particular isolated thing. You know, there are people who are all about golf, or travelers who are all about food, or, you know, people who... But then at the end of it all, it becomes so much more special when you experience a destination on all different levels. And I think that not just me, but people in general travel that way. So it is a great mix. It's, I think, what excites people and gets them off the couch, because once a year you have these festivals around the world, and while you're there, these are the great places to stay, maybe in the same family for 4 or 5 generations. Or I had mentioned these historical castles in the UK and Ireland, which are once belonged to the Guinness family or have great historical value. So anything that kind of revs your motor and gets you out the front door with your passport is here in this book, because I think that the world just offers so much. And maybe you don't think that you're interested in natural beauty because you're all about architecture and man-made design, but wait till you see some of these places, national parks, and not just ours, which I believe are the finest anywhere, but all around the world, or beautiful valleys, places of particular natural beauty that will just knock your socks off.
I can imagine after the book was published originally, you got a lot of pushback of people saying, well, hold on a minute, you missed something. It should have been 1,001. How much of that actually happened?
A lot. And I think the discussion that came from it, the exchange of how could you not, you've ruined my favorite place, it's included, you didn't include my favorite place, what's up with you? It's fun, and it comes from a good place. No one is ever all that accusatory. I think it's more out of curiosity or wondering if I even happened to have visited the place. And so there's been a great exchange of suggestions and comments, and you know, people scribbling their favorite places on a napkin at a dinner party, knowing that I was doing the revision, and make sure that got included, or make sure you check that out. And it's wonderful because everybody, it's a common denominator for everyone. People who haven't traveled want to travel and love to talk about travel, and they're the typical armchair travelers who one day, when the mortgage is paid, when the kids are out of school, when, you know, their parents are feeling better and they can take the time. So I think everybody in their head, and if not in their heart, always wants to travel. It's the great enjoyment in life, and it's an education, and it's an inspiration, and it's great therapy. People who are having difficult moments always dream about just getting on a plane somewhere, and well, they should.
Well, I'm sure you have quite a traveler's life list of your own as it goes. But out of the 1,000 places to see before you die, I won't ask you to pick just one, but instead, what region? Because you have this broken up geographically. There's, you know, Europe and Africa and Asia and the United States and Canada, Mexico. Any particular region you really prefer to go to?
But that doesn't make the question any easier. Because
I tried to make it easier.
Because each region is so unique unto itself and offers such, you know, a roster of special places that you will find nowhere else, for the most part. But I do understand your question, and to make it easy for you.
Thank you.
I would say Italy, perhaps, because, and the Mediterranean, because, and not only because of this, but my mother is Italian born. So I've spent a lot of time there, and I lived in Florence and in Tuscany for 5 years, and I came to know it very well. But you don't need to be of Italian background, and you don't need to have lived there to understand what it offers. It has more UNESCO World Heritage sites in one country than any other country in the world. And the mix of, you know, the antiquities from Pompeii to the Middle Ages and the Renaissance and the natural beauty, Capri and Sicily and the Piemonte area with the Alps or the Dolomites. And can you get a bad meal? So I could go back time and again and again. And I do, because I never, ever tire of it. It's the most revisited country in the world, the statistics say.
Well, I greatly appreciate you taking me places I may never go, but at least letting me know that they're there.
Yes. And hopefully you'll get off the couch. And sooner rather than later. I met a woman once who gave me, she was 90 years old. I met her in Machu Picchu. She was there for her birthday. And she said, "You know, honey, your knees have expiration dates." So I shall forever remember that.
Well, thank you very much, Patricia. I appreciate it.
Oh, thank you very much. Thank you.
Patricia Schultz, the author of The New 1,000 Places to See Before You Die. Patricia will be in Cincinnati for an appearance at the Public Library of Cincinnati in Hamilton County on May 11th at 11:30 in the morning. You can find details about that and the book and Patricia at our website, wvxu.org. And I love the quote at the beginning of the book, "Better to see something once than to hear about it 1,000 times," the old Asian proverb.